Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app. Your home smart speaker up on TSN 4. Brian Hayes, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. The O-Dog, we have not heard from the O-Dog. I don't know if that's a good
there
thing or a bad thing.
I've got a sighting of potentially somebody.
Wow, look at him walking in. Ready for business right
well,
on the
business.
Number.
I love it.
Ringing 5 o'clock.
Time, we're
so
good.
Are we talking new teeth? The same teeth going in there? Did he pick some teeth up at a garage sale and plug them in there for a bit? What's going on?
Teeth put in. We're not sure yet. There's a smile there. They look like piano keys. They're white. They're gorgeous. I don't know what's going on, but he's about to plug in. But we had a good first hour, and Jay Woodcroft was on. Lots of chat with him. And
yeah, it was good catching up with
through
Woodcroft.
The Austin Matthews and all of that type of stuff. I wanted to get into this with both of you guys. I was on Edmonton Radio this morning, and it was brought to my attention. And this is what kind of bothers me. So all the voting, and the voting's going to be transparent, but there were five people that didn't vote for Connor McDavid for the Hart. Like, not on their ballot, which I think is, I have a tough time with that. Regardless if you think first, second, third, fourth, fifth, whatever, just zero. Like, now, I don't know if that's people trying to outsmart the thing. Maybe people that were given, you know, ballots from Horse and Hound. I don't know. But, like, at the end of the day, don't you think that diminishes kind of the voting process?
Of course. This happens all the time. That now that the awards have been handed out and the ballots are being released, you're seeing players. Like, we were texting last night, Timothy Liljegren
received four votes.
Rookie of the Year
votes. Four. Like, he got...
Very simple, guys. You do that, you got to expose who did it, and they never vote again.
Yeah, but who's to judge? Like, that's their opinion. It's all right to have an opinion that differs. It just... I would like to know the thought process behind it. I just briefly was looking at the McDavid one. It was a guy from Olean Times Herald. I don't know where that is, but he had Kaprizov at one, Matthews at two, Yossi at three, Jonathan Huberdeau at four, and Goudreau at five. So all worthy guys.
All had great seasons.
You know, I would love to know what he would deem, you know, maybe MVP. Again, that's his thought process. It's just, I don't know, when most of the people were consistent either with Matthews or McDavid at one or two, you know, maybe a couple sprinkle. He should at least be in your top five.
Well, he should be not allowed to vote again. And furthermore, the 12,000 people that I had to block because they said that I was a moron saying that Austin Matthews should win the Hart or is good, like, favored to win the Hart. Like, where's your apology? I know I blocked you, but give me a break.
Well,
and it's a certain part of the country, too.
Well, I think other side of the country,
coming.
That McDavid people in Edmonton wanted McDavid, people in Toronto wanted Matthews. Matthews won, and he won by a lot. He had 119 first place votes.
I know, but what people need to understand is, are we Leaf centric on this show? Well, me and Hayes are. I cover the Leafs. I don't really care. I sleep at night. I could care less who wins these awards. I'm just saying what I see. And you guys can apologize, get a new account, and apologize anytime you want.
Well, here, I think if you come back to it, if you had a coin flip, then it should be 1-2. It shouldn't be one guy and then the other guy just completely left off. That's where, you remember the Aginla one? That was the problem, is you had people that voted for Theodore and left Aginla completely off. That messed with the point system.
Well, that was clearly a planned attack.
Exactly.
Because understanding that if Theodore got it, that means, and Aginla wasn't on it, then that would take away. Maybe it's about the point system.
Right.
But this is what you get when you have arbitrary rules in terms of how you define valuable, right? Like, this is what happens with every single award, is it's, well, valuable, I think the Leafs are okay without Matthews because they have Tavares and Marner. Meanwhile, where would Nashville be without Yossi or New York without Shesterkin? And I can reason with that. Like, Shesterkin, being a goalie, it's the most important position in the game. And if you're an absolute stud like Shesterkin, who dragged his team to where they were, I don't think any player can compete with that, McDavid included. But the way this award has been handed out throughout history is basically who's the best player. Like, who was the guy who had the most impact? Who was the guy that just simply performed the best at his respective position? Generally, it's driven by forwards. Furthermore, it's generally driven by centers.
Right, and points and all of that.
And points and goals and all that. And that's where Matthews, I think, led the charge. And for me, McDavid would have been right there just behind him. Mm-hmm. But I'm seeing, like, Al's brother, I don't know, I guess he's – is he combing over everyone's ballot? I don't know how you have time for that. But he has found a ballot. This is according to Al's brother. So, again, maybe we need to go deeper into the records. But he has found a ballot that didn't have Matthews or McDavid on it.
Then you never vote again. You're a loser, and you're not paying attention. So.
Yeah. Like, this guy's ballot's got Kaprizov winning it, and Kaprizov was unbelievable.
That's fine, but to not have them 2 and 3, you're a moron. Who is it?
Well, I don't know who it is.
I've got the ballots thing in front of me, but we're on a show. We'll look at it later, but it's just I just feel like sometimes there's an overthinking with this. Like, oh, I'm going to go against the grain here or whatever. I respect that whatever market you're in, so you're going to be biased towards that because you watch that team every night. And if you're a scribe, you write for that team every night. That's why I think 4 Leaf scribes put Timothy Liljegren on there somewhere because they watched him every night.
Absolutely crazy. Well, like, it was not a great year for rookies, let's be honest.
Right.
But Liljegren should not be anywhere close to the top 5.
Right.
Not even close.
But at the end of the day, like, this is just arbitrary. I think the right people won the awards.
Right.
And good for them.
All right, we got Mr. Game 7
exactly,
on the line.
It's
not a Game 7
a real
tonight.
In the media now.
Oh, yeah, big shot in the
media.
Yeah,
that's our understanding.
Everyone in the media is still a loser now that he's in it.
All right, here is 3-time Cup champ, special advisor to the Hurricanes GM, and now NHL Network analyst joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Here's Justin Williams. So you're a media superstar now, Willie? What's up with that?
I don't know. Can you tell me why everybody says welcome to the dark side now? Like, what does that mean? Everybody's been telling me that. I don't even know what it means.
It's because when you played, everyone on the dark side calls you an idiot and says you're garbage out there, and then you go and you say it yourself to other people about other people. That's why.
Is that why? Did you just make that up?
Hayes, you would know. You were both a player, and now you're in the media.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, I got to the dark side quicker than you guys did. That's a good question, man. I don't know if there's an actual, like, reason behind it or definition to it, but I think it's basically all the players you're opening yourself up to the players disliking you if you say something that they don't want to hear. And maybe that's what it's about. I don't know. Are you planning on being harsh? Are you going to be taking guys out at the knees? What kind of takes are we expecting out of you?
Well, I don't know. Everyone needs to just stop taking themselves so seriously all the time anyway, so
yeah.
Maybe it'll be a good thing. I'm just going to be honest. Right? If the guy stinks, I'll tell him he kind of stinks.
Yeah.
He's good, then I'll tell him he's good. I mean, I don't know.
Let me ask
be
you
honest
this,
with
Willie.
People, I think you'd be fine.
Let me ask you this. Is there one former player that you would know that you would maybe copy their style?
That is in media right now?
Yeah. Can you think of anyone?
Other than you?
Well, what's your style going to be?
I don't know. I'm just seeing if I'm any good at it first. You know, I don't know a style. I'm just talking. I mean, that's all I know is hockey. So, I mean, if I can't talk hockey with hockey guys on a panel, I mean, I don't know. I really got issues, so.
I think you'll be fine.
Yeah.
The dark side stuff, I don't know. I mean, you'll enjoy it. You just, like you said, you're just talking about the games, and this is a pretty good time to start. Like, wait till you have to cover preseason games. That's when you're really a part of the dark side, Willie. Cup final, that's a different beast.
Or the draft round, like 3 through 9 or something. You're like,
right.
Oh, boy, I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
We were at the draft 1 year, and it's just like
one round.
Bit pieces, and this guy projects to be a big, you know, big guy. Guy 6'4". Looks like a big guy, you know. Looks like he's going to be.
Well, I like that pick.
You
that's
weren't
the
at
move.
The draft
like
in Jersey.
Pick.
Me and Hayes were there, and Hayes is looking at me. He's like, this guy, you know, big frame. And I'm like, I have no idea who that guy is.
Yeah, the draft is tough, we
had the idea. I was talking with Brian Boucher yesterday, and he's going to be doing a little bit of the draft this year. And he was like, I don't know what I'm going to do for these later rounds. And I said, you should just take absolutely obscure names from the past and just compare them to people and just be like, well, that guy's, He's a big Glenn Featherstone guy coming in, you know, real comparable to Glenn Featherstone.
Feather in front of the net, just gassed. That sounds like something we'd support, maybe the Leafs taking in the sixth or seventh round. Yeah. But you're right, though, because then it would make you look like you really are prepared. If you're drawing, like, really crazy, outrageous references from the 80s and 90s, then you have to believe that that guy really actually knows what he's talking about.
Exactly. It'd be like, wow, this guy blocks shots like Craig Ludwig. It's unbelievable.
Shin pads wider than goalie pads. That guy was unbelievable.
Do you remember who your NHL comparison was when you got drafted?
I don't know. I don't know who was running my draft in 2000. I don't know who that would have been. But no, I don't remember my comparison.
Because you know they were out there, right? Like every draft, mock draft would have said he projects to be the next Jeff O'Neill. Maybe it was the O-Dog.
No, I think Willie would have been like a young Dan Dawu. Remember that? Didn't he play for the Leafs?
Oh, yeah.
Dan Dawu. I feel like I played with him with the Islanders briefly or something. But good skater, played hard on pucks. You know, I think brings the intangibles. That's probably what we would have said at the draft about Willie.
Nice.
Sounds about right.
I'm honored.
Yeah.
Willie, we were talking earlier about the timing of the awards. I just felt like it took a little bit of luster off of how brilliant it was for a guy like Austin Matthews in, you know, winning the Ted Lindsay, winning the Hart. And, you know, they're kind of force-feeding it in between games 3 and 4. Like, we talked about it even yesterday. If you can have it at the end of the regular season or at the end of the playoffs when everyone's done playing, it just kind of rings a little bit more. I think he's able to celebrate a little bit more.
I agree, definitely. And I was wondering why we'd be announcing this, you know, kind of between games 3 and 4. And kind of the answer I got was the season's been extended long enough. Everything's been pushed back a few weeks. We do the award show. It's going to be, you know, the end of June, maybe the start of July, and it would just, you know, be a little too much. So I think that's kind of why they went in this direction. But and I said yesterday on air, I mean, it's really a celebration of the year that Austin Matthews had, and he got his awards yesterday, deservedly so. And yes, maybe it would have been better if it was in Vegas and a big show and a big to-do about it, but that doesn't take away the fact that he had one of the best years ever. And, you know, hats off, and I'm sure he had a good time last night somewhere.
Oh, yeah. I don't think he's worried about that. Anyway, yeah, in terms of the Ted Lindsay, how much time did you put into the voting process when you were playing? Like, how much pride did you have in your own individual vote for the Ted Lindsay?
How much pride did I have in it? I mean, I took it serious. Absolutely. I mean, I remember some guys would be like, you'd only get vote for a guy on your team, or actually, you're not even allowed to do that anymore, were you? I think maybe earlier on you were allowed to, but I don't even think you're allowed to vote for someone on your team anymore. You guys could correct me if I'm wrong, but yeah, I took some account into it, definitely, because it's a big deal. It's an award. It's not a joke. You know, one that's got an extra added stamp on it, like player's approval. Boom, there it is. The players agree. So it's a great award, and I'm sure he's real proud of it.
Willie, switching over to the series, Colorado's trying to break through here. They spanked Tampa in game 2, and then they kind of got it back last game. What do you think for the team that's trying to get over the hump and take it back with an opportunity to win? What's the most important message going into this game tonight?
I really don't think they have to change much. I thought Colorado had the better of the play, to be honest, in game 3. They lost 6-2. They lost 6-2 because of Vasilevskiy, made some big timely saves. They got timely goals, and they got subpar goaltending from Colorado. So, you know, watching back the game since, I mean, the recipe, they need to clean up a few things, yes, but I think the recipe there is for success. And if Tampa's going to have success, those are the things that I just talked about that need to go in their favor as well. Vasilevskiy's got to be not just good, he's got to be great. They need to get timely goals like they got. Their power play needs to get going a little bit, and they're going to have below the average goaltending for Colorado. And you know, you never know. But I said it kind of yesterday too. It's like, you just don't want to bet against them, right? It's like Tom Brady. You're like, you don't bet against Tom Brady, and you don't bet against Tampa Bay the last few years because they'll burn you.
They've been burning teams for 3 years, to your point. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think the goaltending every year it plays a massive role in what's going to happen and what's going to break either way. And it feels like a pretty significant difference in terms of the mood, I'm sure, in the room in Tampa compared to the mood in the room with Colorado. I'm assuming you've probably been on both sides of that, Willie. How different is that vibe when you've got a goalie that you can trust and maybe a goalie that you can't trust that much?
Yeah, I mean, it factors into it too, but it's not going to change the way you play. I mean, it's just you're going to go out and you're going to play the same way, but the extra confidence that you get from having a guy back there like that, it's, I mean, when I played and Jonathan Quick was out of his mind in 2012, it's like, you just felt like every opportunity you gave or every turnover you gave that they get a shot on, he was going to stop it anyway, and you're going to get a whistle. It's just, I mean, they've had that for years, and they're going to continue to have it as he keeps playing. But, you know, there's only, well, I mean, two, maybe three of the goalies that you look at and be like, wow, that's super special, and that's different.
Yeah. Well, listen, we'll find out what happens tonight. You're covering it, obviously, for the NHL Network. Most media types on the dark side, they say, we don't care who wins, we just want it to end early.
No overtime.
Are you already a believer in that? Do you advocate for that or what?
Well, this 8 o'clock game, this is ridiculous. You're out here on the East Coast, an 8 o'clock game, and then I have an hour post-game show after? You get out of there at like 4:30, 1 o'clock. You guys have it made. You do a radio show during the day. And then
Really?
That's it.
Yeah.
You really have it made, though. You never really work, do you?
Yeah. Right. Some people will be leaving this building at 1 o'clock in the morning. Not everyone, but some people will be.
Yeah, well, he's got the new jibs. I don't know if you heard about that,
yep.
But
oh,
the teeth are looking good
today.
From my vantage point. Yeah, it was
so embarrassing. They fell out on the golf course, and the bag boy at the course said to my buddy Danny, "I think Mr. O'Neill left his teeth in the cart."
He used it.
So he texted me and said, "I have your teeth," and I was thinking this guy had to grab my teeth. Just ridiculous. Yeah. Ridiculous.
That's tough to overcome, man. Hey, you got to get those teeth, though. It's like a range finder. You leave that behind, you got to go get it. You miss some teeth, you got to go get that thing. You got to have it. Right? I think
so, too.
Anyway. All right, Willie. Enjoy it tonight, buddy. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you for this.
Yeah, sure. No problem. I do have to send a message to Odo. I was talking to an ex-teammate of his and Sean Hill.
Buddy, if it's stupid, do not say it on this radio show.
Please say it on this
and show. Sean Hill wanted to say that he loves you and he misses you. That's what he told me to tell you. So I'm just relaying a message for him. So that's
okay.
It.
I thought it was going to go somewhere else, but I appreciate it.
Tell Hilly we love him. I played with Hilly in Florida. He was unbelievable. Yeah. Very, very light. Quick-witted on the bench. Very relaxed, put it that way.
Yeah, he calms people down for sure, and he makes a lot of people smile. So
he's the best.
All right. Well,
Anyway, pleasure, guys.
Great seeing you. Great talking to you, as always. There he is, Justin Williams, 3-time Cup champ, special advisor to the Hurricanes, GM, NHL Network analyst. Joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline, build your next dream Toyota at Maple Toyota. Check out Maple Toyota's pre-owned inventory arriving daily. It's Red Tag Days. Visit MapleToyota.com.
Tonight's the swing game. I mean.
Oh, yeah. It sounds like Kadri's probably going to play tonight, too.
Crazy.
I give him
like,
a
how
lot
effective
of credit,
can you be? I admire the guy. He said, I'm going to get in this series somehow. If he gets in tonight. How can you, like, if somebody two-hands your, even that's, just your stick.
But that's all I could think about is, you know which hand it is, and you don't have to slash it. You could actually just kind of forearm his hand. Like, it's going to be such a very soft spot for him. Mm-hmm. Like, there's got to be a lot of pain management with that, is not alone structurally.
Any kind of heavy collision noodles, his hand is like, it's in there. It's involved somehow.
I don't know if you guys saw the videos yesterday of him pushing off the boards, because he's going to have to absorb contact. A lot of guys, you know, you go into the corner, you turn your back, you're trying to spin off plays. Somebody's going to give you a push. He has to brace himself. Like, That's kind of, I mean, that's how he broke his hand or broke his thumb anyways.
On the positive side, it might be just some juice for Colorado saying, okay, we got one of our guys back and he's doing everything he can. Like, it just might give him some juice.
It's courageous, man. I give the guy a ton of credit. Like, that's perseverance. And that's someone who's never been here, and he is not missing playing in the Cup Final. Like, it may be a scenario where he barely plays and he goes tonight and doesn't play in Game 5. That wouldn't surprise me. But he's never been here, and he wasn't going to allow surgery to stop him from getting in the lineup. We'll find out pretty quickly how effective he is, though. Yeah. I don't picture him taking draws, and if he can't take draws, then you're already behind the eight ball, and he'll be a target. Like, I think of – what do you think Corey Perry is thinking right now? Like, Perry will be all over him. Yeah. And what he's going to try to do is draw him into a punch-in-the-face contest, too. Sure. Make him – punch him in the head, and you know Nas, his instincts will be on punching you back, but I don't know if
he can.
I can't
imagine back in the day some of those animals on D just, like, it would just be a tomahawk chop to the hand, like, every time.
I think I've told you guys this. Travis Green, right in front of me, lost his glove. Ulf Samuelsson skated over and slashed his bare hand. Like, just for no reason. Like, it was just, it was there. Like, that's all I could think about is targeting. We knew that Dreisaitl's ankle was messed up. How many chops did he take in that one shift? Mm-hmm. Where, you know, teams are like, hey, we know what it is. And I know that's what it comes back to, the disclosure of injuries. We know what he's got going, that you can't hide it. So is it going to be a target? You're not going to let up on him just because you know he's injured. If anything, you kind of double down on him.
Well, for sure. I mean, you got to do it within the rules of the game. The refs should be on high alert. But yes, contact for sure. Scrums, taps by the stick that happen to hit the hands, you know, like it's definitely a part of the sport.
Yeah.
Like it is. Well, he's going to have to prove he can go tonight.
I hope the refs stay out of the way and just let them do their – I think the refs have done a pretty good job. Not like that ump last night. We got to get into that.
Yeah,
like,
okay. That was... And this – I've set myself up. Anytime there's an umpire who sucks, I hear it because I'm the human element guy.
Right, right.
But Doug Eddings sucks. Like his that was so awful last night, and it was awful on both sides.
Yeah.
But like Espinal got punched out and snapped, and I thought Eddings was going to toss him. He didn't. The next time up, he got squeezed again. I think it was on a 3-2 pitch, and it was outside the zone. Like Eddings was out to get Espinal last night.
It was Leslie Nielsen behind the plate.
It was horrendous, and missing by an inch. Like there were a few pitches that were called strike.
Didn't something happen today at like the lineup exchange where the guy just
Martinez
said,
the hitting coach was out there exchanging the lineup cards and got tossed.
I love it. I've never seen that before.
I don't know how many times it's ever happened though. Like I can't who gets tossed
before the game.
And I'm guessing he went out there for Eddings. He probably shook his hand and said, "You suck, Eddings.
Well,
you're
let's
brutal.
Wake up here."
And wake up, and if we go through that again, you're gone.
He's
looking
right
in the guy's face.
Saying, you did a brutal job yesterday. Wake up. You go stand over there on third base and stay out of people's way.
Guillermo Martinez, I'll bet you last night he was chewing on cement, being like, if I get out there with the lineup card, I am going to give it to this guy Eddings.
So I guarantee you, Charlie was like, you take it out.
Yeah, go get yourself tossed.
Like, go get yourself chicken winged out of there.
Yeah.
But Dougie Eddings, look at this guy's lineup.
Yeah. Oof. There's some red paint there that's way outside the zone.
There was a couple where I swear he was calling strike before the pitcher, like, it was through his windup. Like, why I was like, it was Leslie Nielsen in the Naked Gun.
Predetermined strike.
Yeah.
That's generally not going to go over well with hitting coaches, let alone the batters themselves. But Jay's game today is over. They held on for dear life, but they win 9-5, so they do get one out of Chicago. Felt a lot like the Yankee series, not in terms of them getting blown out, but missed opportunities against a good team. You know, and that's the second series in a row that they've lost. Last night, man, Romano blows a save, and they had leads in the 10th and 11th inning, and they couldn't close. It was a disappointing game last night. But today, Bichette hit a grand slam. They win 9-5, and they're off to Milwaukee now for a weekend series. So we'll look ahead to that with Steve Phillips and break down the game with him as well in just over 40 minutes. Jerry's percentage is coming up. We think Jerry's going to have to email things in. He's a busy guy. Jerry's a busy guy.
You read Jerry's emails then.
Yeah, well, just he sent me an email. I guess I could do that. That's fine.
Right. Yeah, it'd be good.
All right, we'll get to that more coming up. Overdrive continues, TSN and TSN 4.
You're going to want to hear this.
Jerry's percentages.
I don't love being commissioner as much as I used to. I actually love it even more.
That's the voice of a
Hall of Famer.
Are you kidding? Have you been out drinking?
Jerry!
You're all pigeons. Filthy, filthy pigeons.
It's Jerry. G-E-R-R-Y.
All right, the segment on Overdrive brought to you by Shorncliffe Disposal and Landscape Supply, your one-stop shop, an official Echo dealer in Etobicoke at 51 Shorncliffe Road. All right, so Jerry, he's a busy guy. He had his big award show last night. It's Game 4 of the Cup Final tonight. He sent me an email. He said, I'm not calling in. I'm not recording anything. I'll shoot you an email. That's all I can give you. Now, he wanted it to be on the record. He wanted to point this out. That Matthews, he believes, is stealing his style because Jerry's been rocking a suit and Skechers for a long time.
Hang on, I'll undo one more for this segment.
That was...
He had the chest hair out.
Yes, he did. Like we said earlier, oh, you missed it. I think that's the first Hart winner ever to not wear a tie. Definitely the first ever to wear sneakers.
And it was pointed out the guy who he gives the high five to right here, that's his agent, Judd. Apparently, Judd Moldover, I don't want to butcher his name.
Yeah.
But apparently, he's a beautician.
It's a great shirt on him, too.
Well, he had, what was that, a Louis Vuitton
Gucci
shirt? Wow.
Yeah, that was...
That guy's got style. He's got style.
He's got style. Matthew's got style. He owns it. But, you know, Jerry's got style, too. He's been rocking suits and sneakers for a long time. So, he wants everyone to understand that. So, Jerry writes in... congratulating Austin Matthews, and goes on to predict that he will win at least one more Hart Trophy during his career. Matthews wins at least one more Hart.
Guys.
I could see that.
I know I go off the rails here with these percentages, but it's 100%. Are you not going to say 100%? It's going to flip-flop between him and McDavid, possibly McCarr, McKinnon in there. But he will. Is it only one more?
Only one more.
Oh, my God. 100%.
Well,
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I can't, definitively. I believe. Like, I wouldn't be shocked.
He scored 60. How many? What was his goal total?
60. 60 on the nose.
60 on the nose. Only played 73 games.
Yeah, but
in the next 2 or 3 years, he gets a full 82 in there. He's going to get one more. That's why I got the button undone.
Okay.
Well, maybe I'm 68%. A lot of good players in this league.
This guy's going to try to be a hot shot here and come up with 34% or something.
No, he's going to be on this side of 50.
Let's look at history, okay? Let's look at history. Malkin, one. One. Yeah. Patrick Kane, one. And I don't think they're ever going to win another one, right? Joe Thornton, one. Like, it's tough to win. Marty St. Louis, one. Joe Sakic, I believe, one. Forsberg, one. Like, it's not easy, man. It's not easy to win multiple hearts.
You can't have your best. Here's the other thing. You can't have your best season every year. Like, that's the one thing. Like, McDavid had his best season.
I'll go down to 95%.
McDavid had his best season ever this year. He lost.
Right. And here's what I said earlier on the lunch. I think McDavid is a victim of McDavid fatigue. The same fatigue that LeBron faces, Mike Trout faces. And because he has set the bar so high, he's got to almost exceed it to probably win in the future, which I think is completely unfair and shouldn't be the case, but likely the reality of the voting system. And I think what Matthews has done here is set the same bar. Like, I'm not sure he wins another Hart unless he scores 65. Like, if he scores 52 goals next year and 103 points, he's not going to win. He won't. They'll give it to somebody else.
Yeah, because that's not his best season.
It's not his
best. And what happened last, it'll be ingrained in people as it wasn't as good as the year before.
Exactly. I think that's voting in poor faith, personally, but I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised at all if he won another one, if not multiple. Like, he's that good. He's a top five player in the world. If you're top five, you have a chance every year, and he's in his prime. He's 24. But so's Draisaitl. So's Kucherov. So's McKinnon. McDavid, clearly. Lindros only won it once.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going through the list here. Like, Lindros, Sakic, Malkin, Kane, Kucherov, Draisaitl. Now, those guys are still playing and still can throw their names in the hat, but it is not easy to win multiple hearts.
Yeah.
It's not.
What
so,
did I say, 68?
I believe I'm going to say 40%.
Oh, like, you're below 50. Ooh.
Listen, 40% still, that's a lot.
I know.
Like that's a big number, again, based on the history. I'm talking history here. And, you know, he had a remarkable season, and I think he set the bar now. Like, unless it's like he's got 57 goals, 123 points, his all-around game, which is possible, you know, for sure. But I feel like he set the bar so high from to win it again, he might have to score 60-plus, which he can.
But it might not be. I think if we're doing this next year, that's not going to win it for him. But 3 years from now, maybe if the goals are down
absolutely.
Or something like that, then you don't really draw a complete parallel to this season, right?
Right. Like, nominated, I'd say 100%.
Right.
100% he's nominated at least one more time in his
for
career.
For sure.
But winning it, it's a weird formula, the whole voting process and,
well,
you know, how you conclude. Like, Sid's won two, and he's probably not going to win another one. Crosby has two. Sid,
yeah.
Two.
Yeah, that's 20 like, years worth.
That it's tough, man.
Yeah.
It is not easy. All right, moving on here. Jays beating Chicago today, which means I'm sure top step Tony La Russa was hearing it from the White Sox failure. Faithful. Did you hear them chanting? The second the Jays took the lead last night, the second, for the first time in the series, I might add, immediately they start chanting, fire Tony. Like, he is going, he's getting run out of town by the fans. Jerry believes that the fans will ultimately win this. And Tony La Russa will be packing his bags sooner rather than later.
94%. You can't have people coming to the ballpark every day screaming for the guy. Didn't Brian Burke say it about Ronnie Wilson? Where he's like, I just couldn't have him come back here and have that happen again. Yeah. And I had to do it and do him a favor. Like, you can't have an environment like that where people have a hate on as soon as the game starts, or as soon as top step Tony wheels out there and people hate his guts. You just can't do it, man.
Like last night, again, I can't emphasize this enough. Chicago is, they win the game one. Game two, they're in the driver's seat. The second the Jays took the lead, fire Tony. The second it happened.
Yeah,
and they came back and won the game. They won 7-6 in extras.
Yeah. I honestly think walking that guy to get to Muncy when they played the Dodgers and it was two strikes and he's like, that's the right call.
Yeah.
And he had the audacity to say to the media, does anyone seriously have a problem with that? With a straight face, he goes, are you telling me somebody actually has a problem with that? Like, he was confused and surprised.
Yeah, he's
it was
in a
like,
bad
yeah,
place.
Tony, they did.
But he's got a contract and he's got a history, right? Like, he's Tony La Russa. He's one of the all-time great managers. He's had a lot
of
success.
It's not 1991, though. It's 2022, and they'll just say that's enough.
But Jerry Reinsdorf's an old owner, man. An old owner.
Yeah.
I don't know. Does he want to start from scratch? We saw it in Anaheim with Madden, but I'll say 51%. I'm just going to lean into the majority here.
Really? I'm the other way. I'm 41%.
Yeah.
I think he's, I don't know.
They once keep you get winning, the, and they're in a playoff spot.
Yeah,
they're not going to fire the guy.
No. It
you
isn't.
You sound like Top Step Tony.
I do
never
sound
know.
Like Top Step Tony.
Yeah.
That was a tough one.
That's
that
all right. Been there. Believe
never
me.
Never know.
All right.
Moving on here. Top Step Tony. all right, Jerry is a big advocate of a seven-game series, right? And he thinks that it's moving in the direction that he wants it to move in. And he believes it's going seven. Now, what he's seen through three games makes him a hardened believer that this cup final is going seven.
Goes seven games.
Yep.
I don't think it goes seven, Hazy B. I'm going to say 24%. I don't know who's going to win. It could be the Lightning going on a run and wrapping this thing up quick, going back there, getting another one, getting one tonight. I don't know which way it goes, but I say 24% it goes seven games.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
tonight will determine a lot of this, right?
Obviously, but if we go 2-2 tonight, I think it goes seven. I've always believed this was going to be a seven-game series. I think both teams are fantastic and deserving, so I'll stick with it. I'm going to be 61%.
Yeah, I mean, regardless of how you've reacted to the three games and how you feel about either team, through three games, you know, Someone's going to be up 2-1, right? So this is the way it was likely to play out if you're going 7. And I'm starting to lean that way. I kind of feel like Tampa finds a way again tonight. And I think if they do, then I fully expect it to go 7. So I'll say 62%. Just past noodles. You know, not a full commitment, but I'm kind of thinking, and I'm hoping, admittedly, hoping it's trending in that direction. All right, what else does Jerry have in store here? He's a big Alejandro Kirk fan. You see, last night, like, Top Step Tony had a chance to walk Vladdy and load the bases, but in order to do that, that means Kirk was coming to the plate. He decided to pitch to Vladdy in extras, and Vladdy ends up chopping out, and they get out of the inning. They end up going on to win the game. Like, what universe am I in where managers are like, no, green light, pitch at Guerrero because Kirk is coming up afterwards?
Yeah, that is a bit
weird.
He
is the definition of a grit grinder, and he's dialed in right now. And Jerry believes he will be with the Jays for at least the next 3 seasons.
Ooh.
Now, Gabby Marino's up, right? Marino's up here. Jansen, I think they like. They got some depth at that position. Kirk may want to get paid at some point.
I'm low on this.
He may be a chip too, right? Like, he could be a chip to trade and make some noise.
He's 23 and he's a grit grinder.
Yeah.
But all he's done is
all he
been,
does is hit,
been
man.
Fantastic. But I just
all he does is hit.
Is this Cinderella and eventually it goes south, or you think that this guy's got a trajectory to be like?
I'm going on the ultra positive for this. 85%, he's still a J.
Wow.
You got to have depth at that position.
Yeah.
Why not keep him around? A guy can hit. He's a professional hitter. Guy's got more All-Star votes than anybody on the Blue Jays.
He's had a great season.
Keep him around. 85%.
Yeah. And you make a good point, though. Like, regardless of position, if you can hit, you find a spot.
That's right.
You know, DH. Okay? DH, you catch. Like, that's a pretty good hybrid. You bring Marino up here. You have Marino maybe as the guy who's going to catch about 100 games. You have Kirk catching 62. And then DH'ing for another, you know, 50, 60 games, you're in a really good spot. So, you know, Noodles, you're being a realist here. It could go south for him at any point, and then who knows what's going to happen with him in the future. But he's been up here for a while, and he's been a pretty good hitter since he got to the majors.
I don't know.
I'm going to say 60%. I'm leaning positive here with Kirk.
Yeah.
Being a guy that's like a part – and if you're here for more than 3 years, you're a part of the core, right?
Yeah.
Like, that means you're a guy – that this team believes in and wants to build with. I'll say 60%.
I'm 29%. I don't know.
If he's a chip, Hayes, you better be getting a guy with term that's a stud if he's going anywhere.
Well, and if he is ever going to be a chip, you better figure that out sooner than later because you're like, strike while the iron's hot. Like, his value has never been higher.
That's right.
Because of how, like, this guy is a legit, like, you cannot strike him out, man. He makes contact. He gets on base. He hits for power. His OPS at the position is unparalleled in the American League. Like, he is locked in, man. He is genuinely dialed in every time he hits the plate.
Well, his eyeballs are the same height as the ball coming in. Maybe he sees it good.
That helps, for sure. Doug Eddings was pretty confused by his strike zone last night. Trying to get a strike zone dialed in for Kirk. But they do it with Altuve, right? Altuve's smaller than Kirk, probably. Definitely slimmer than Kirk and finds a way to, you know, mash. All right, moving on here. Jerry sending in more emails today. He's a busy guy. He doesn't like Jay Monahan. He doesn't like any commissioner. He really doesn't like any commissioner. He's not a fan of the PGA Tour's commissioner. And he believes that he's lost the handle and eventually he'll buckle down the road. May not be this year, may not be next year, but Jerry's a believer that the LIV players will at some point be also allowed to play on the PGA Tour.
You know what? I'm going to go 57% on that. I think Pelly set a standard with the DP World Tour. He said the guys can play, right? They can go back and forth.
Well, and Keith Pelly, we know him over here. Like, he's, yeah, they're in a bind over there because they have lesser players and lesser names. And that tour is trying to survive. The PGA Tour will survive. The DP Tour is a different story. But, yeah, it could be somewhat groundbreaking, that decision.
I don't know. Monahan's pretty pissed, man. He's taking a hard stance. Like, what could happen in the future? He hates Greg Norman's guts. He hates Phil's guts. He hates every guy that's went over there's guts. What could crack that in the future? Like, what could make him say, you know what?
If they start doing what they're projecting to do with the no cuts and all that, All they're doing is bringing themselves down to what the LIV is doing.
Yes. Now, the distinction is you got to play yourself into that, right? Like, you do have to compete and be a top 50 guy on tour in order to qualify for effectively LIV 2.0, where you just you make the cut, you make money. It's basically, hey, thanks for being a star and sticking with us. Here's cash at the end of the year. But you do have to technically play yourself into that. And that's why I don't know why it would ever make sense for Monahan. Because you don't care if Taylor Gooch comes back and plays Riviera.
Or
you know,
Phil.
Like, you don't care if Kevin Na or Phil. But Koepka, DJ, Bryson. But I don't think DJ and Koepka have any interest in showing up at Bay Hill or at the Memorial or at the Genesis. So if they're not even going to play, what's the point? Like, why allow them to show up? They're not going to play. They're not going to show up at the Travelers. They're not going to play these tournaments that where you need them. To keep the tournament alive and to keep sponsors happy. So I don't see why it would be worth it to say, okay, Taylor Gooch and Kevin Na, you can come back over here and play. If the big boys are not going to do it because they made so much money and they don't want to play and all they want to do is focus on the majors.
Yeah, but where they would want to play is the Genesis, as you just mentioned. It's a big tournament, L.A.
Yeah. Maybe, Tour
Waste
Championship.
Waste Management.
Yeah, the Waste Management, like that's where it stings, man. Like the idea of Bryson, like at Bay Hill, the sixth hole at Bay Hill, him taking on the water, he's not going to do that anymore. Like he won it 2 years ago, and he won't be back there. I think here's why I'll say 25% there's a chance. I think it would be contingent on Monahan getting a guarantee from these guys that they'll play those tournaments, right? That you if you're going to be a LIV guy and a PGA guy, you got to play a minimum of 15 tournaments on the tour.
So a commitment.
A commitment, exactly. You can't just have your card and show up every once in a while. You know, like you. But I don't think it's going to be anytime soon. You can't. Like, you're in a battle right now. This is an arms race.
Yeah.
But I think the Saudis are going to spend so much money, and they have so much money, that they're not going away.
Nope.
And they won't be going away for a long time.
Yeah.
So 25%.
All right.
Noodles?
I'm going to go 38%.
38%.
Right there.
There's a chance. You're saying there's a chance.
I think there's a chance. It's just, like I was saying before, this is all about money.
Yeah.
Eventually, they're going to try and migrate both. They want star power. They want people there.
You got to have it, man.
Exactly.
Yep, you got to have it. But what you're also risking is, if you allow those guys to do that, is the McIlroys and the Thomases and Rahms to say, well, what are we doing?
Right.
And we'll go plan to LIV. We'll go take $125 million.
Yeah.
So it opens the door both ways. This segment on Overdrive brought to you by Shorncliffe Disposal and Landscape Supply, an official Echo dealer in Etobicoke at 51 Shorncliffe Road. Save at Jerry's After Dark. We got Steve Phillips coming up on the Jays, Darren Dreger coming up on the Cup Final. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, today's Best Bets brought to you by FanDuel. Bet on all your favorite teams on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. I've been emphasizing the under. And I'm going to go back to the well. The total's 6 tonight. I'm going to take the under. Now, there's a little bit of juice that goes with that minus 120. But I don't believe every game is 6-2, 7-0. Like, at some point, I'm expecting a 3-2 game. You know, a 3-1 game, a 4-1 game. And, like, I think tonight will be close. I think it's a lower-scoring game tonight. Just based on the history of the Cup Final and the playoffs. Like, at some point, it comes back down to earth.
And Kemper needs a response. I don't expect anything for Vasilevsky to change. So
right.
I think you're right. It could be a lower score, you know, 3-2, that type of stuff.
That's kind of what
we
I'm
forget. Too, game one went to overtime.
Right.
So really, it's been that close. Game one was a coin flip, really.
Yep.
And then two blowouts either way. So it might go back to that coin flip tonight.
I'm thinking it will. Tonight, I kind of expect – I'm leaning Tampa in a close one where they got something out in the third.
Yeah.
So I think they – you know, both goalies will play better. I think both teams will settle in a little bit more tonight. I do not think there will be a goal in the first 5 minutes of play, 4 minutes and 59 seconds. Now, that, again, comes with some juice, minus 260, but I'm on it. And I think McKinnon, even though I'm expecting 3-2, you know, 4-1, something like that, I think McKinnon gets on the board with a point tonight.
Yeah.
The total's one. So. You could push it. But it's only minus 110 for him to have, you know, the over on that prop. And I'm going to take it with Nathan McKinnon. Like, he has got to contribute offensively.
Yeah.
And I think it's a matter of time. Today's Best Bets brought to you by FanDuel. Make every moment more and get your winnings fast when you download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. today. All right, the O-Dog will be back. Steve Phillips coming up on the Jays winning today, holding on today. What went down last night, his take on Doug Eddings, who was just awful behind the plate last night. And has he ever seen a guy get tossed from a game while exchanging lineup cards? Because it happened today to the Jays hitting coach. We'll tell you more about that and keep teeing up game 4 of the Cup Final. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.